welcome to the next edition of A Footballer's Life. I'm Adam Peacock, and today's guest is one of the best players in the Hyundai A-League at the moment. To go with it, he's one of the best stories. Craig Goodwin, now on fire for Adelaide United, making it look easy. However, it's been anything but to get to this point.
It is Craig Goodwin! Oh! Absolutely sensational goal! Meantime, here's Galloway, slings it in. Halloran, Goodwin! Oh, my goodness! That is a stunning goal, this time with the right foot of Craig Goodwin. Two goals of the very highest quality. And Adelaide United perhaps have one hand on the FFA Cup.
Craig, thanks for your time. I'm tipping the move to Adelaide so far has worked out pretty much perfectly. Is there anything more that you could have asked for so far?
Yeah, not really. I think to start with, it's been quite a good move, obviously, coming back from, the difficult end to my stint in Holland. But, it's been great so far. Obviously, been a good start to the season for the team, picking up some points and winning the FFA Cup and for myself being able to chip in with some goals and assists. It's been a good start.
It has. Is the reason you hit the ground running again so much is because you're in an environment that you know so well, i.e. your hometown, Adelaide?
I think probably that's an aspect to it, being familiar. But I think, obviously, it's a different to when I was here with Gombau and Amor in the 2 years. So it's a little bit different style. But it is familiar. But I think I've got a lot of motivation to do well as well and try and force my way back into the Socceroos setup and try to, you know, make the move coming back here. Not a step back, but a stepping stone again to try and, you know, come back, find my best form and then push on and be better than what I was here before and what I was in Europe as well.
We sit here at a recovery session the day after the Brisbane game. Did you need recovery after a game like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was a game that was, I think, very exciting for the fans to watch, I would say.
It was better than the Mundine fight.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. There was a lot of emotions, a lot of melees. But I think those are the games that really make the sport exciting. And I think for us to be able to pick up the 3 points and I think really play some good football, perhaps probably a little bit too open in the counter-attack for us.
Keep a line. It's good to watch.
Yeah, we had our chances and I think probably their best chances came from when we missed our chances.
Yeah.
So maybe our rest defence needs to be a bit better in that respect, but yeah, obviously happy to get the 3 points.
Flicked a text to Stephen Mawk this morning. We're staying away from him.
No, I went and saw him straight after the game. Wanted to see he was okay, obviously, because the tackle happened and I was on the ground and didn't know he'd been knocked out. And then when I got up and turned around, all I saw was him stuttering and trying to stay on his feet. And I was like, wow, he must be a bit out of it. So obviously went to see if he was all right after the game. Spoke to him and obviously friends with Steph from when he played here and saw him when we were both in Holland as well. So
no marks on your ankle.
Nothing huge. All good from the incident.
Good. Let's get back to you. How'd you get into football? I asked this early on in all of these podcasts. How'd you find your way into this sport?
I got an older brother, Daniel, who played. But I think it was more probably my mum's decision because my dad did play footy when he was younger. But my mum didn't want us to play footy because she thought it would be too rough a sport. So we started in football.
Yeah.
My brother first, and then I wanted to do it too. Wanted to be like him. And then I think from there, as we got into it, especially my dad as well. He's completely converted from from the footy side and is everything football. Like that's the sport.
Does he know what he's talking about?
He does to a certain degree. Like he tries to keep up with everything, and obviously he's been involved. He was my first coach. My dad, Terry Dodd, and Tony Steele. We had them from under sixes at Manapara all the way to under 12s. And yeah, I think that's how it started from my brother playing. But then he stopped playing when he was, I think, 13, 14 and wanted to try other sports, and I just kind of stuck with it.
Does he do any other sports now? Or?
No, he really likes football again, but yeah. He doesn't play any sport as such, but yeah. Keeps up to date with it all.
He watches a bit. Yeah. He watches his little brother go around. What does he think of what's become of you?
Yeah,
still give you crap, or as older brothers do? Or?
Of course, he'll still give me stick. And if there's any mistakes that I do during the game, that's the first thing he'll mention. But no, I think he's we have a good relationship. We're very very friends with him. We're best friends, you know. So I think he's happy for me, and always is supporting me throughout the games and stuff like that.
Now, you were in Scotland as a kid?
No, I trialled there.
You trialled there? So how did that come about? How did it get to pass that you play under 6s to 12s at the club you mentioned there,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're over there trialling?
So when I was, would have been 2003, we went on a holiday to England, where my dad's from, and we went to Scotland as well, where my mum's from. And I actually trialled, I had a training session with Crystal Palace. And they invited me to come back and trial when I was, I think, 15 or 16.
Yeah. How old were you on the holiday?
2003, would have been about 12 or 13.
So too young to stay there then,
yeah.
Obviously.
And, so I went back and trialled with them. I went back and trialled. I'm just trying to get my timelines.
Oh, you're right.
But... yeah, I went back and trialled with them, and I also did a trial with Fulham and didn't get in there, and then trialled with Crystal Palace at the time. And they were happy with me, but there was some complications with the year, like the calendar, because their calendar year goes different to ours. So for here I was under 15s, but for here I was under 16s, and for there I would have been in their like reserves, so the step above.
Okay, yeah.
So they said that once they found that out, they said
you've come too late.
It's a little bit too late actually. So I didn't do that, and then I went to Scotland and I trialled at Inverness when they were in the Scottish Premier League.
How did you end up there?
Inverness. So I had a coach when I was in my juniors, John Walker.
Yeah.
So I'd had him after I was with the state team. I was with the state team under 13s, 14s, and then got cut for the Nationals under 15s.
Yeah.
And then I went with to EFI. It was a program here, and John Walker was involved. And then I met him and did a lot of individual training with him. And he was from Scotland, and he had a contact at Inverness. And, then I went and trialled there. And... I actually did get a contract there. I had the contract, and I was 24 hours before supposed to fly out to go there. And on the final day of the season, Inverness got relegated. And then the contact that I'd been speaking to, Danny McDonald, said to my parents, I just want to let you know that we've been relegated. I fear that the club might do something drastic here and cut the youth system.
Yeah.
That ended up happening, and they did cut the youth system, so there was no team for me to go to.
Oh.
Then from there, I trialled with Adelaide United youth team 2 years whilst I was playing at Adelaide Croatia Raiders. And the 2 years I didn't get in at Adelaide United youth team. And then I met Arthur Pappas and moved to Melbourne and played with Oakley Cannons.
Get to that in a moment. Just back to trialling. So if a young kid's listening to this and they have an opportunity to trial for a European team, England, Scotland, continental Europe, wherever, how would you describe the experience and what you have to go through and how eye-opening it is?
It was, I think, for me, a really good experience. I think the perception here is because it's Europe and it's the pinnacle of football, is that at the young age that they're going to be unbelievable and they're going to be so much better than anything that we have here or young kids going over. And I found that when I went over there, I was as good as the players that were there. And I think you have to be strong mentality-wise and in the self-belief, knowing that when you go over there, you have to have the self-belief and your ability to get out there and show that you're as good as what they have, if not better. And a lot of it from that side, I think, is a mental thing and not so much the ability side. But it's a nice experience, and I think for development and young players, you know, if you have the chance to trial or to go overseas, that's where the best coaching is. Obviously, we have the A-League and it's growing and the setup is getting better and we're starting to produce some good players, and young players are coming through in the national team. A lot of the players have come through the A-League, and that's fantastic. But obviously, football's been around a lot longer in Europe.
Yeah.
And the coaching and quality that you can get from some of the top clubs is second to none.
Yeah. How did you miss out on the Adelaide United youth teams, though? If you get into a club over there but can't get into the youth set up here.
I don't know. I had the trials and had the games, and for whatever reasons, it didn't work out for me.
How much did that hurt you and your head as well? Make it spin a bit?
Obviously there was disappointment. But I think for me, along the way, whenever I've had rejection disappointments and stuff like that, I think I've always just used it as motivation. And I can't say that when I was younger, I was really mature and switched on about the situation. I think I was just like, it was all I wanted to do and I didn't have a plan B, and it was more like, okay, well, what do I need to do now to give myself the chance to get there?
Yeah.
And at the time, it just happened that Arthur Pappas contacted me and I could had the chance to go over to Melbourne and have a different avenue to try something different. And obviously that worked out really well for me.
Yeah, it worked. Good coach, good setup, good club, Oakley.
Yep.
And you ended up getting the eye of Melbourne Heart and getting a contract that wasn't worth very much, but it was a huge opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. So when I went to Oakley, I lived in a house with two Greek people that were friends with the people from Oakley.
Yep.
So they had a room there and I rented the room, and I picked up a job at KFC to get some income and pay the rent.
Yeah.
And then obviously with the youth team, I think we earned, when I signed at Heart, it was $600 a month. And then I had to move to the other side because it was too far away to drive. It was like an hour and 15 minutes for me, and Melbourne traffic gets hectic. So I'd moved over to the other side of Melbourne near the training ground and was still working at KFC. And it just obviously it wasn't enough, the $600 to pay the rent and the phone bill and the car and everything like that. So I needed to keep working at KFC. And after I'd made my debut, I was still doing shifts there. So
for A-League debut?
Yeah.
How much of a grounding was that? What was the first shift like after you? Because I remember the day, it was a match day Saturday game, and we're sitting in the studio and they've plucked your name from somewhere, and it's great when it happens because you go, oh, who's this kid? Great Goodwin. Oh, let's find a bit more about him. Let's see how he goes. And you played well that match, and Bozza automatically fell in love with you, and that's an everlasting love, it seems. That's the last on that, by the way.
Yeah.
But how was the next shift at KFC after you've gone and played in the A-League on television?
Yeah, it was all a bit of a whirlwind, you know. I think the first game was amazing, and I managed to get man of the match in it, which was great. And then,
do we have money then? Was NAB sponsoring it then when you were given the $1,000?
I don't think so. No, but we got. I think that for the youth players, we got $500 for making a first team appearance. So that helped, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, I was still trying to pay. I was borrowing money from my parents as well whilst I was there. So, you know, I think it was two days after when we had the day off after the game. I had a shift at KFC 9 to 5, and someone actually recognised me and said, "Didn't you play for Melbourne Heart the other night?" No, that's not me.
Oh,
I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm working at KFC. I don't know. It was just the situation. So
you were in conflict. You were in a turmoil.
I'm Craig Goodwin. I work at KFC.
There's two of you.
Yeah. No. So I think I think my upbringing, I've always been reasonably level-headed and and grounded and always looking, trying to look at the bigger picture and knowing the goals that I want to achieve and what I have to do to get there. So, yeah, obviously KFC was a part of that and, you know, it was nice. There were good people that I worked with there and, yeah, it was an interesting story, and it's always brought up now.
That's a beauty. I didn't know that angle to it about the neglected to say that you actually played on the weekend when someone recognised you. But realistically, how long could you have kept that up before the tap ran dry? Unless things changed contract wise.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. It's a hypothetical, but I'm really not sure. I don't know how much longer I would have kept going. But yeah, at the time it was all I wanted to do, and it was the necessity for me to be able to try and achieve becoming a professional footballer.
How did you deal? Sorry to jump in. How did you deal with being told that you're playing A League football? In terms of, obviously, from what I can tell, your motivation levels were pretty high.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons, mainly because you wanted to be a professional footballer. So how did you deal with that and not get ahead of yourself when you got told that you were playing that first game?
Yeah, I don't know. It was. I think John Van Skip told me on the Thursday, 2 days before the game, that I was going to start. And of course, obviously, I was going over things in my head. I was like, wow, Melbourne Victory, Melbourne Derby, it's going to be a big crowd. I was like, don't make a mistake. And then, I don't know, I had nerves, but when it was the day of the game and the warm-up and everything like that, I just didn't, like, everything kind of went, all nerves kind of went away, and it was purely just, like, probably adrenaline and just in my head. I just never thought that I was going to do anything wrong. I just thought that this is my chance, and I know what to do. I know I'm a good player. I believe in myself. I know I can do well here, and just everything kind of went well. I think during the game I slowly built myself into it, and then everything just fell into place.
How did you ensure in the time after that that you weren't one of those kids that plays three or four or five games in the A-League and then falls back into certain habits and that stunts your growth and stunts your maturity as a footballer, as opposed to what happened when that was getting a contract at Newcastle and pushing on? Was it someone who helped you, or was it yourself who helped you?
I think a bit of everything. You know, I think, like I said before, I've had a good upbringing with my parents, and they've always been supportive, but also level-headed and keep me grounded at the same time. So obviously their support and, like my dad was saying, like, you know, you've done it once, you've had a good game.
Yeah.
Everyone's so proud of you, but you don't want to have just one good game. And then obviously Arthur Pappas as well, you know, being the coach, and straight away, I spoke to him after the game, and he's telling me, like, the analysis of the game, yeah, you did really well. There was probably a spell about 10, 15 minutes in the second half where defensively you got caught, like, with different situations. And I think just those sorts of things where you don't get caught up in the hype, and, you know, you're looking at, I guess, the things where you should have done better.
Yeah.
Was a factor. And then I think for myself, just knowing that, like my dad said, one good game's not enough. And, you know, there's another game coming up. And, you know, you want to be having a good game for that one as well, and then for the next game. And you want to be doing something all the time, and there's always another game to look forward to. And I think you'll find with every professional sports person is you're so competitive that you win the one and it's not enough. You want to win the next one and the next one. And it's just it's something that you need to channel and feed off, and I think that side has really helped me.
Tell us about how you got to Newcastle, why you went there and how it turned out.
Obviously, I think I had the option to stay at Hart, and I had the contract with Newcastle to think about as well. And I think the biggest reason why I went to Newcastle is because I'd played a few games with Hart, but Aziz Baich was still there.
Yep.
And he was the first choice left back. And Arthur Pappas had gone to Newcastle as the assistant coach, or one of the assistants, and when I went there, it was as a left back, but as a left-sided player as yep. well, because I'd only played left back when I went to Hart. That yeah. was that was when I started playing there. I'd played left wing most of my career, or on the other side.
You're left-footed, bang, out yeah. the left.
Yeah,
off you go.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, when I went to Newcastle, it was a situation where they didn't have a left back to start. So they'd signed me, and I think they ended up signing Dom Ritter as well at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was just a purely out of a game time situation where I thought there's a chance for me to fight. Whereas at Hart, it was Aziz Baich is the left back,
yeah.
and I'm going to be the backup as such. And I thought, you know, okay, I've done well with Hart, but for my career and for playing opportunity and growth, I think if I can be playing, that's going to be the best thing for me.
Yeah.
So that was the decision. And then in the pre-season with Newcastle, I was playing left back, but I was scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
So they moved me forward as well. And then obviously it started to go right there too.
It worked out. Must have been nice. Not nice, but, you know, what was the day like when you marched into KFC and said, guys, I'm out of here, sorry, I'm done?
Yeah,
And you
nice...
didn't have to scratch around the back of the couch to find some petrol money?
No, I didn't, famous story, not this where time.
Finding shrapnel to
yeah.
put petrol in the car.
No, it was nice. Obviously, I went in and said goodbye to everyone at the shop and said thanks, obviously to the owner of the KFC as yeah. well for being so, I guess, so lenient with the hours that I would yeah. work and subject to change with training and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was nice. But I think I'm someone that won't... I think I'm someone that doesn't forget where he started or where he came from.
So,
I always try to keep level-headed with those sorts of situations.
Yes, I've garnered that. We're sitting here, both of us, we're trying not to cough on each other at the moment. As you can probably tell, if you're listening to this, you're going, oh, they sound a bit stuffy. What have they got, a pillowcase over their head or something like that? No, it's just that both of us have got colds for various reasons. So sorry about that if you're listening. I should have got that away at the start. So what did Newcastle do for your football? And the next step was Adelaide. Why that?
I think at Newcastle was really good. You know, it gave me the chance to play play more regularly and obviously get my first couple seasons in.
Yeah.
And after the season was first season at Newcastle was fantastic. I trialled at Reading and they said, the coach said when I was there that if they had stayed in the Premier League, then they would take me on as a development player, but because yeah. they're getting relegated, that they want to sign an established player that can play 40 to 50 games.
Yeah.
But
you did can... you say, I can play 40 or 50 games?
Yeah.
You want me to?
Yeah. But, obviously they said, go back to your club and we'll keep an eye on you and see how it goes. I don't think the second season at Newcastle went exactly how I would have hoped after going to the East Asia Cup tournament
yeah.
With the national team.
Was that when it started to unravel with Tinkler as well?
Yeah, it was around a little yeah. bit around then. But I think when I went back to the first season, I had patella tendonitis a bit in my knee.
Yep.
And I don't think... I don't think I picked up the momentum as I had in the first season I had with Newcastle, and then I was in and out of the squad a bit, and
yeah.
then obviously there were off the field issues with the club, and it had obviously
yeah.
that whole period with then and after, and now Newcastle's back on track, which is fantastic. But yeah, I don't think I found the form I had in the second season as I did in the first, and. Then in the pre-season of the following season, Robbie Middleby came to me and said that Adelaide want you as the left-sided player and
yeah.
you can go if you want to go. And it was, for me, it was actually a difficult decision at the time because I felt like I had unfinished business at Newcastle because of how the first season went pretty well and the second season wasn't so great. But I looked at the whole scenario and spoke to my family and friends and decided that Adelaide was the best place for me to learn and progress and under what Josip Gombau was doing and the football they were playing, I really felt that that would suit the way that I like to play. And obviously, I think at Newcastle and at Adelaide in my first year or first 2 years, I chopped and changed a lot between left back and left wing. And I think the system that Adelaide played suited me better for either playing left back or left wing.
He cops it a bit, Gombau. Given what happened, I think, at Western Sydney Wanderers. But is it unjust? Because you speak to the players that were here in Adelaide with him in his time, and I can't find too many that didn't like what he was doing.
Me, personally, I thought it was a bit harsh because, obviously, having played under him and seeing what he's like and what the way he works can do for the team... I thought it was a bit harsh. I think he was an excellent coach and he obviously, I think, had a massive impact on my game and changed that and I think took it to the next level of, you know, of doing well to you know, doing well consistently.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the football that we played under him, I think personally was better, the football that we played as a whole, than the year that we won it.
Yeah.
But I think the second year we were better defensively, and that's what helped us after, obviously, the first 8 games without a win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Gombau was a fantastic coach and, you know, it was disappointing, I think, to see him the way it ended at Western Sydney.
Have you ever been in a team which got on a run like the one that that Adelaide team did when you won the double? It was ridiculous what you were doing.
No.
Is it hard to explain how it actually all came together, in a sense?
Yeah, I think a little bit. You know, in the first 8 games, obviously, we didn't win, but we had some good performances, I thought. And I think we were just leaking goals. And I think a lot from what's been maybe a little bit of our problem this season with conceding goals is on the counter-attack and not necessarily from... just a turnover, but when we have our chance on goal and we don't finish, and then the other team would go up the other end and punish, and we weren't finishing. And I think it is hard to explain, but we always believed in what we were doing at the time. And I remember we had the game against Brisbane and we lost 3-0, and we all sat in the room together and said, boys, we can't start fighting against each other now that we've had a few bad games. Like, we know that we're a good team and we know that we're playing well. It's just not falling into place. We have to keep going, keep working hard, keep trusting ourselves and keep doing our role and trying to listen to the coach and what he's putting across. And I think, obviously, after the 1-0 against Perth, where we won, everything just started clicking into place. Yeah. It went from, like, the total opposite of what happened in the first 8 games where we'd hit the post and have the keeper make a great save. Like, it just went the complete opposite from that to hitting the post and going in, like hitting the post and getting a ricochet to our player for a tap in. Like, everything, like all those one percenters where you do the hard work, everything started going for us.
Yeah. You sound like a coach in making, you know, just listening to the first 25 minutes here, you sound like one day you're going to be a manager.
I don't know about that, to be honest. Some people have said that to me, that maybe I would make a coach or maybe I should try at the end. But I don't know if for me. I mean, it's something I might think about in a few years once I finish. But, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a while to go. I'm not trying to end your career or anything like that and move you on to the next stage. We enjoy watching you play each weekend. But we didn't get to watch you for a while there, unless you're staying up in the middle of the night watching the Dutch First Division. Sparta Rotterdam, sum up that experience, what it did for you, not only as a footballer, but as a person as well.
I think it certainly matured me as a person, my time over there. And it's probably the biggest mental test I've had. It's the last 6 to 8 months, it was anyway. So after the first year went really well, I picked up shin splints in the pre-season of the first year.
And shin splints?
Yeah, because we played and trained on AstroTurf.
Oh,
and
what a nightmare.
In the winter it freezes as well.
Oh, cool.
So it gets even worse.
Stephen Morgan, his slide tackles wouldn't go down too well down there, would they?
Yeah, so the first season went well and had a good impact with the team. And even the first half of the second year, I think I was involved in the national team setup regularly. Didn't get much game time, but was in the squads consistently. But in the last 6 or 7, 8 months, when the club changed the coach.
Yeah.
Obviously, he came in and brought in his own players and told me that I wasn't going to play that I wasn't going to get a chance. I wasn't going to get a chance to play. And in the winter break training camp, I was pushed to completely on the outer. So I went from playing regularly and playing all the time to not playing at all. And then, obviously, when the transfer windows opened up and with the World Cup coming up, I'd spoken to the coach and the club and asked if it was all right to... if I wasn't going to get the chance to play, if I could move on. And the club said no, you're not going anywhere. And then...
the coach, Dick Advocaat, didn't even know your name, pretty much.
He didn't know what position I played when I went there. To be honest, he thought that I was...
Yeah, he's got a history with Australians.
Yeah, I've heard some stories, but...
Some good ones and some bad ones, given the fact that he was going to be our national team boss and then he did a U-turn at the last minute. So maybe there's something there that he saw your nationality and went, you know what? Too bad.
No, I don't know, but, it obviously... when I got there, he didn't really know my position. I had to tell him that I was a winger and I was in training, I was playing right-back and centre-back for the second team against the first team and stuff. So
centre-back?
Yeah, I was pushed completely on the outer from that aspect. But I was caught in a situation where I'd spoke to the coach and he said, I'm not going to play. And the club didn't want to let me go because I'd done good things for them in the past and in the first season and stuff.
Sorry to stop you, but can you take us through the conversation where a coach comes up to you and says to your face that you're not going to play?
So basically, I went up to him and had to speak to him about it because we'd had the training camp and I wasn't involved in anything, like any first team tactical things in the games. I was on the bench and in the winter break and stuff. And
so you had to initiate the conversation.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to him and find out what his plans were for me if I was going to have the opportunity to be involved because I had done good things with the club and I had played a good amount of games and scored a couple goals and done some good things, you know. And obviously I wanted to speak to him because the World Cup was coming up and I was playing often and doing well and involved in the squads and perhaps there was the chance for me to go. So I wanted to speak to him about that and he basically said, I've brought in my own players and I'm going to play them first.
Yeah.
And I said that, okay, that's fair. If that's what you're going to do, if that's the case, can you speak to the club and let them know that you're okay with me to leave? And he said, okay, I'll speak to the club. And so he spoke to the club, and then the next day after speaking to the club, the club decided to extend my contract by another year because when I originally signed, I had the 2 years with the option of a third. So
yeah.
He'd spoke to the club and then they decided to extend my contract for this season as well.
So from going at the start to a guy who's just doing everything he can to get a contract, all of a sudden you've got a contract that you didn't really want.
Yeah, kind of at the time because I wasn't going to play and he'd made it clear and then from the training sessions, it was like no matter what I did in training, I wouldn't get the chance to play because I was you know, playing in the second team at like right back at times and centre back at times, and it was like, well, obviously he doesn't even see me as getting a chance, and like, you know, I'll do well there and I'll do my bit, but you know, I'm not going to play a centre back. I'm not a right back or anything like that. So I don't know. It was an interesting situation for me, and yeah, I think of maybe the club wanted money for me, but then I think there was a couple options for me to go, and the club said no. So it was an interesting situation, and it wasn't until Henk van Steen came in as I think the football operations manager as such. He came in and asked me into the office, and I spoke to him about everything, and then he said that I could leave on a free, but yeah, I don't have to leave.
Empathy, did he?
Yeah, pretty much. And obviously, so that was.
Did
that
you
was
break
nice
down?
And
did you lose it emotionally in that
meeting
just to get it across? Or?
No, not at all.
Did you lose it emotionally at all during that period?
It was frustrating. I think I did get frustrated in I think the training sessions and stuff like that. But you have to try and keep a level head and come in and be professional as possible, because at the end of the day, you're still a part of the team, and you want to do your bit for the team to help them on the weekend. And it's obviously a very frustrating period personally, but you have to try and put that aside when you're in the training sessions and just do what's being asked of you. But yeah, obviously it was nice from Henk to be able to let me go at the time, because I wasn't going to get the opportunity to play. And I think by the end of that period, I wasn't enjoying my football whatsoever. So then there was the option or decision to decide what do I want to do, what's the best option for me. And obviously that's when I decided that coming back to Adelaide and I guess being in a bit of a familiar surroundings would be the best thing to try and get back to my best football.
Could you have gone to Sydney? There was that rumour flying around.
There was the option to go to Sydney, and obviously it was quite appealing because they've been fantastic for the last 2 years, but I just felt that Adelaide was the place that I would get the best out of myself.
Kind of worked out okay in that FFA Cup final, didn't it?
Yeah.
Is that the best night or best 90 minutes that you've spent on a football pitch?
I think for the game that it was, and obviously the atmosphere and being able to score the two goals, it was probably the best moment of my career, if not second best, to making my Socceroos debut.
Yeah.
So and winning the grand final with Adelaide is right up there as well. So, but to be able to do something like that in the grand final is something that you dream about, something that when you listen to motivational music before the game, it's for me, it's the kind of things you replay in your head. You think about obviously doing your job, but you try and psych yourself up to, you know, you want to do those things. And yeah, obviously for me to be able to do that is something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
And that is pretty much the end of the chat with Craig Goodwin. Now, a disclaimer right now, the battery actually ran out soon after that last answer that you heard. So we had to leave the interview there. Well, I had no option, really, because of my negligence. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed the chat. Craig didn't really have much to add after that anyway. He wanted to get out of there because he had the afternoon off. But he was a pleasure to talk to. He's a pleasure to watch. And thanks again for listening to A Footballer's Life. Hopefully you can join us next week for another episode.